Lord, on this beautiful day, a day that you have made, we praise you. We worship you, Lord. We come expecting here this day for you to do the impossible. For each and every one of our lives that are present here this day, and those present viewing through Facebook, YouTube, that are online, Lord. But we also go beyond the online and beyond the walls of the church, Lord. That you would touch, Lord, those that are still lost and bound out there needing a Savior, just as all of us did at one time, Lord. Father, I pray that you put me to the side on this special day, this special occasion, that you would be glorified, lifted on high, for all to see and to know that you are the great Savior. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here in the house of the Lord and those viewing online. Amen. Praise the Lord. Worship team, you may have your seats. Great job. And you may have your seats as well here on this beautiful Sunday morning. I want to emphasize on encouraging those that are viewing online to continue. And maybe one day you can come to church. But for whatever the reasons may be that you might be viewing from your house, amen, we're just this day real excited to have you on board in viewing and being a part of what the Lord is doing in and through our ministry, not just here locally in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but in the Great Lakes region and all around the world. Amen. We've been having a powerful time lately and with a lot of things on the calendar. Amen. A lot of things that we got the baptism around the corner. We got two big speakers we haven't mentioned yet that are already on calendar. Amen. To come and speak at the church, as I said, would take place. Amen. We just came off a 21-day fast. Amen. We also came off the prayer summit that we had here that was explosive and powerful, life-changing. And I really believe that God did a lot within our lives that we're not even onto yet. So, and in that, leadership came together and we just thought the last couple of weeks has been given the word on deliverance. And I want to speak here on deliverance here in this day, and one of the greatest ways that God is not able to save you, but one of the greatest ways that God is able to deliver you. One of the greatest ways God is able, after he has saved you, to deliver you from whatever the addiction may be, the thing may be, whatever it is that's holding you down and keeping you from answering the call of God. And what I want to speak on here this morning, in the area of deliverance, the title to the message is Giving Brings Deliverance. Giving brings deliverance. How many know that if giving to the world can bring bondage, then why can't giving unto the Lord bring deliverance, blessings to our lives? Because not one of us that got saved came in blessed by spending time with the devil. Not one of us came in blessed. But the truth is, we came in cursed. Some, if you were like me, came double cursed, the Bible says. And one of the main ways that we got ourselves into bondage is that we gave to the work of the enemy that shackled us up. We were dancing, we were partying, we were having fun. But little did we know that our giving unto the kingdom of darkness would bring bondage to our lives, where in due time we would all, not just Pastor Charlie, but we would all need a Savior to do what mom and dad couldn't do, amen, what he or she couldn't do, what money couldn't do, what the best job couldn't do. We all needed a Savior. And because God knew that day would come in your life, in my life, and those viewing through Facebook, he set up a plan of giving his only and begotten Son. The Lord is ministering already. He set a plan up that called for giving. Not a tenth, not a tithe, but he gave us his Son Jesus, not to bail us out, whatever the bond might have been to get out of prison or out of the courthouse, out of the county jail, but the Bible records to pay the price in full. In other words, all of our sins of yesterday, today, and forevermore. God designed the plan that called for his Son. So once again, I'm going to be speaking on deliverance here this day. And I believe some that are here are still not delivered because you're still not a giver. You're still not tithing yet. And I believe some viewing online right now are still in bondage, shackled one way or another, amen, because you still haven't gotten to the place of trusting in the Lord of the giving of your finances. If giving to the work of darkness can bring bondage, then why not giving unto the work of the kingdom of God? Why can it not bring deliverance? I believe it's one of the greatest ways, not the only way, but one of the greatest ways to be delivered is by giving what belongs to the Lord. Just like God gave what belonged to him, which was his Son, Jesus. For you and I, not just to get saved, but to be delivered. Too many saved Christians still in bondage. And I believe one of the main reasons is that the work of darkness, the enemy, is still getting your finances. So he still has a hold of your life, even though you're saved. I want to give a praise report right now to honoring Chris Maloney there, sitting in the back row that came to our rehab home 19 years ago. 19 years ago. The worst of what you could imagine took place in his life when he was young by his own very parents. And I can speak it out because I know him that good. But something happened in the rehab. Even though he drove everybody crazy in the rehab, including Salvador. Amen? God was doing something in his life that couldn't be seen by anybody, not even Salvador. One day, Salvador was so mad, he was directing. He says, "Pastor, if you don't kick him out, I'm leaving." This is a true story. I said, "Well, I'll see you later, Chava." This is a true story, huh, Chava? It's a true story. We all have a beginning, humble beginnings. But today, Chava ain't that same man of 19 years ago, and neither is Maloney. And Chava came in a minute right after him, And he too, I want to honor him right now, has been a faithful giver. Now, I don't think Chris Maloney was the big drug addict, you know, buying crack and heroin, all that. He said he never touched a drug. But Chava was. Chava knew what it was to give everything and to come out empty-handed from the deal. So I want to honor Chava and Chris Maloney for being faithful givers all these years. It's time that we start giving honor where honor is due and praise where praise is due. And if anybody has a praise report where God has done something, because I believe that we're always talking about what the devil's doing. Man, you ain't gonna believe this, brother. But what? Yeah, again. I just never, man, can never get my breakthrough. And we're so quick to testify to what the devil's doing. And when the Lord does something that is supernatural, we don't think it's that great of news that it needs to be told. Because it's easier to talk about what the devil's doing than what the Lord is doing. So we just started, what's it called? Praise the Lord. Where if you have a testimony, amen, I got a thought in the Lord in prayer, and we're going to start praising the Lord, amen, and testifying what the Lord is doing, not only what the enemy's doing, because what the Lord is doing will always be greater than what the enemy's doing. So if you have any testimonies, you get myself with Pastor Felipe or the leadership, and we'll find a time to allow you to come and share what the Lord has done. You don't have to be a leader. You don't have to be with us for a few years. You can be a brand new person, because I know when I was brand new in the church of Salinas, California, Victor Outreach, God did big wonders in my life as a first week convert in the church being saved. So we want to acknowledge the Lord, amen. We want to lift him up in what he's been doing, amen. So with that, I'm excited here this day to be able to preach on giving brings deliverance. And prayfully, those that are here this day and viewing through Facebook or YouTube or however you're viewing us here this day, that you would be a giver of the Lord, one that trusts in giving unto the Lord, for the Lord to bring that deliverance unto your life. We are going to be picking up a pledge at the end of the service. There's a reason we didn't pick up the offering, amen, because we're going to do it at the end of the service, amen. We just had Pastor Augie come and give a phenomenal message in the area of the tithe of giving that brings forth deliverance, amen, and how he owns houses, and that's in California, not Milwaukee. California is real expensive, amen. What we consider a $50,000 home over here is a $500,000 home over there. So it's a big difference, and he owns several homes. The church is worth $15 million. A guy from Mexico that snuck over the border, not knowing that the plan of God was right around the corner. His double master's degrees, it's just mind-blowing in what the Lord is able to do when you allow him to get a hold of your life through the tithe. Through giving. Giving just represents that you honor him for one, and that you trust him. That you trust him. So at this time, it brings me a great honor. If I could have my phone, please. It brings me great honor because I had a little thought a day or two ago, a couple of days ago, and I gave it to a few of the leadership. Then I was speaking to Pastor Jamie and on the phone, just like I think yesterday or the day before, and the thoughts I had when he started speaking, I know, or one, I was one with what he was saying. So today is Sunday in Jacksonville, Florida, and they are picking up a pledge. They're going to start today and picking up a pledge. What Jamie don't know is that he knows I'm going to call him, but he don't know why I'm calling him. Amen? So some of you just got to know that you're going to get the call of God. You may not know why he would want to call you or me. Just know that the call's coming. The call's coming, and it's not based on where you've been, what you've done. It's based on God and what he wants to do in your life and through your life. So at this time, I'm going to call Jamie on the phone. He might sound a little. We're going to do our best. I'm going to turn my lapel off and go into the handheld. Amen. And what he don't know is he's picking up a $20,000 pledge right now. That's like $20 billion when you have just a few people. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Amen. It takes faith. It takes having a Chava and a Chris Maloney. It takes faith. That's the BC Chava and BC Chris Maloney. It takes faith. It takes trusting in God to do the impossible. And what Jamie's doing, he's got 400 bricks. It's the back of the church. It's like this. It has bricks. And so all the 400 bricks total to $20,000. Amen. So in other words, every 100 bricks is $5,000. Amen. So what he don't know is that I'm calling him right now. Says, Jamie, you give me 3 minutes of phone in the middle of the message, Pastor. I said, yeah, in the middle of the message. He's preaching right now. Amen. It don't fit. It's not, it don't make sense. But if God gave it, it makes total sense. Amen. So what he don't know, that Victory Outreach Milwaukee, us, in our time of need, we have a bigger need than he does. Even though we already have the buildings, the properties, and the people, our need is greater. And what we're going to do, we're going to call them, and we're going to pledge $5,000 to the Jacksonville, Florida church as a church. Amen? Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Those viewing online also, you can comment there on YouTube, Facebook, and Sister Lily. Address your comment to Sister Lily and put how much you want to pledge on there. And then she will get in contact with you and putting it all together to make sure everything takes place as it should in our tithe, our pledge to our baby church, Jacksonville, Florida, that's been out there for about 3.5 years, give or take. And Pastor Jamie and Tammy have not given up, and they're not going to give up. They're in too far in already to give up. Amen. So I'm going to be calling him at this time and allowing him to know what we're up to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sound like the bishop. You like that? Let me turn my phone on. Amen, amen.
Hello?
Can you hear me, Pastor Jamie? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. What are you doing picking up your phone in the middle of a message?
Hallelujah.
All right. You're only supposed to do that for Jesus, but we're going to let you pass on it this time. Amen. To the church of Victory Outreach, Jacksonville, Florida. Amen. Your pastor was talking to me that you guys are going to be starting a pledge today. And it's ironic that we ourselves are going to be starting a pledge here today. I didn't hear nobody yell now. It got quiet. So in that, Pastor Jamie, Sister Tammy, amen, gave me the rundown that you're doing something with 400 bricks that represents $20,000. But we would really like to say that it really represents 400 souls, amen, 400 souls. And within that, Victor Outreach, I told Pastor Jamie I was just going to stop him for 3 minutes, amen, and let you guys continue on your service. But a Victor Outreach Milwaukee, your sending church, and for those that may not know us yet, I have another site note that we're going to be there at the first week of April. I'm taking a van load of people and maybe even another vehicle to help you on your crusade that starts on the 3rd of April. But to make sure you got flyers and water and all that stuff when I get there, amen? And everything's in place. At Victor Outreach Milwaukee, we want in on your pledge that you're doing right now, Pastor Jamie, Sister Tammy, and congregation. And we want 100 bricks, amen? I don't like using the word bricks because in Texas that meant a kilo, 2.25 pounds of brick. So, but praise the Lord, I want 100 bricks, amen? We call them bricks back in the days, amen? So we want 100 bricks, amen, which represents $5,000 that we're going to be sending to your pastor and to you guys, and which really, once again, represents 100 souls. I'm requesting that the bricks, Pastor Jamie, the bricks be the bottom row of bricks at the church, the bottom row. We want the bottom 100 bricks, amen. That way you guys can build on them from there, amen. And the last request is that Pastor Jamie, Sister Tammy, congregation of VO Jacksonville, Florida, that you guys would pick the 100 souls that you would come together, family members, love members, people you know, when you hit the streets, put their name on the brick, and we're going to allow you guys to pick the 100 names as well. So so that's it, Pastor Jamie. I told you to pick up your phone, amen. When I call, you pick up your phone. So whatever you want to say, Jamie, right now, whatever you want to say, Jamie.
Amen, Pastor. We thank you and the church there in Big Jowish, Milwaukee. We thank you so much. Amen. And we thank you for... Amen. And we know that finances represent seed, you know, and it's seed that you guys are sowing, and we know Jacksonville is some good soil sowing that seed, and we know through the promises of the Lord that that seed is going to be returned unto you 30, 60, even 100 fold. It's going to be returned to the church in Milwaukee. Amen. That not only is our pledge going to be fulfilled, but the pledge there in Milwaukee is going to be fulfilled. And it's not just barely meeting the pledge. God's going to send the rain that we're going to be walking in the overflow abundance of the prosperity that God is going to bring both of our churches. And because we ain't done sending out churches. Come on now. And God is going to represent souls being saved, not only in Jacksonville, but I believe God is going to honor it in such a way that souls are going to be saved in Milwaukee in a whole new way, in a new level. Amen. So we thank you. We appreciate you. We love you guys.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering, church. Amen. Those viewing online, let's give a, we're doing new things and trusting in God as we do these new things. Pastor Jamie, God bless you. Get back to preaching. Amen. Cause I'm back to preaching myself. Love you guys. God bless you guys. See you on the first week of April. God bless you guys. Uh-huh. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. These are just thoughts that come from the Lord in prayer. You know, sometimes the thoughts of the Lord will make you do things that you don't want to do. Where you're trying to make something happen, and God, it's almost like he's taking in what you're trying to accomplish. But that's our way of thinking. That's our way of thinking. Pastor Jamie has a brother there that just got back, Brother Gary, that just got back from the training center. And when we picked up this pledge last year, a guy in the home, you know, pledged $500 from Jacksonville, Florida. You see how the Lord works? And every time the Lord does something, he outdoes whoever gave, because we can never outgive the Lord. We can never outgive the Lord. So once again, I want to thank everybody for your tithes, your love offerings, the pledges, and all that you have given, amen, to the kingdom of the Lord, amen, that saved our lives and want to save lives still through our lives, amen. So once again, speaking on deliverance here this day, amen, and I am excited because I know one of the greatest ways, not the one way, but one of the greatest ways to be delivered, not just saved, give your life to the Lord, but delivered by the Lord is through your giving, through your tithe, because it shuts the work of the enemy down and it empowers the work of the Lord. The Lord is going to speak here this morning very, very clearly. To not give by the end of the service just makes you disobedient. I don't have another word for it. How could you be a 100% tither and giver to the work of darkness and not have a problem with it, but have a problem with being a 10% giver unto the Lord and have a problem with it? So I'm excited here this day because I always shied from teaching and preaching on the area of giving. But we need to be blessed to build the kingdom of God. Building the kingdom of God takes finances. It takes people. It takes deliverance. It's hard to build the kingdom of God coming to church but still in bondage. Still, you can be saved. But I believe there's some this day that are here present viewing through Facebook that are going to be righteously set free through the tithe here this day, delivered to be used of God in a mighty, mighty, powerful way. Because when we gave our money to the enemy, it was a waste of time. What we call a waste of money, it was bunk. But when we do it unto the Lord, I haven't seen a man curse that gives unto the Lord. You may not have everything you want. You may not be where you want to be. But you're definitely not at the place you used to be. That's the way you got to do your math. And the Lord don't always work by and through finances. His word in Genesis says that every seed he produced, amen, it produces after its own kind. You plant watermelon, you're going to get watermelons. You plant orange seeds, you're going to get oranges back, amen. But the seed of the tithe, amen, you would think that you, given money, the tithe, and you're going to receive back, and that's a truth. But it's the only seed that can come back any way the Lord wants to use that seed. In other words, you can become a tither, and all of a sudden, your brother, your sister, son, daughter, mother, father, all of a sudden, miraculously, out of nowhere, gets saved. Because that's what the power of the seed of giving is able to reproduce anything and everything when it's sown into the kingdom of God. When it's sown into the kingdom of God. I remember I was excited going to the connection with no money, acting like I had money. Because I was always excited about getting high. I was always excited about getting high. But that was just another feeling when I was going to the connection with money. Man, I turned to John Travolta on the walking up there and knowing that I always got excited knowing I was going to get high. I got excited coming with a full amount to the connection. Amen. In exchange for a bag. Amen. I got excited. We need to get excited. Amen. In giving unto the Lord, amen, to no longer be cursed, but blessed. Blessed by the principles of sowing and reaping according to God's word. According to God's word. Let's get into the message here this day. Let's show the picture, please. I want a picture. It was on Facebook the other day. Amen. And it shows the graveyard and the green reaper there, amen. And it shows an empty grave. Somebody's about to get buried. And the Green Reaper says at the top, "Sorry, sir, no baggage allowed." And the bottom it says, "The reality of life." And too many times we try to hold on to our money when the truth is that our money belongs to the Lord. Our lives belong to the Lord. Leave that picture up there, please. Our lives belong to the Lord. And too many times we hold on to our money, whether it's big sacks of money filled or it just a couple of nickels or a couple of 20s in your wallet right now. We want to hold on to it because of what that $20 could do for us after the service and getting us a hamburger, putting gas in the vehicle, whatever. We know that money, when it stays in our hands, that it's able to do something for us. But if it's $20, you're going to get $20. And the difference in giving to God and giving to God when we got our home, amen, we had no money in the bank whatsoever, but yet have a beautiful home in Germantown. I always said that even at that time, my credit score was real bad. It was a 4-something. But I had great credit with the Lord. So that's why the purchase still took place. Because in what I didn't have, God had, from the deposit of the 25 years I've been saved into the kingdom of God, I was able to do a withdrawal on that day, amen, a withdrawal with great credit with Jesus. Yes. See, some of you might have great credit with your banker, but poor credit with the banker of bankers. But the good news today is, you're the senior pastor, and you had back. I sure did. I sure did. It wasn't my fault. I'll just leave it at that. Amen? Yep. But today, I have over a 7-point-something credit score. Yeah. Yeah, Felipe. Where's Alberto? Alberto, the other day, he's the banker, and he knows all the things of money and everything. It was so funny. We were Pastor Felipe and Lily's house in the kitchen, and I went in there because I was needing help of my credit score. And Alberto had his, and then Felipe's was a little bit higher than Alberto's. And it hurt Alberto. I could tell it. Look in his eyes. It still hurts him as I speak about it. But at that time, I had a 4. He's giving the poker smile right there. I teach the poker smile. Do it. Give him the poker smile. There it is. There it is. Did you get it, Jamie? There it is. Everybody say, "There it is." Yeah. Look at that. Look at that smile. But we were discussing my credit score, and Alberto said, that's not good, Pastor. That's not good and all this stuff. And so I did something about it just to get a credit card, start using it for all that stuff because I wasn't worried about it. Because I was sure that I had a great credit score with the Lord. But today I have a great credit score with the Lord and the bank now. Amen? As we get into the word here this day, Sister Connie gave a testimony of, you know, warrants being dropped and getting to see her child for the first time in many, many, many years. Many, many years. Guess what? See? She's got a beautiful vehicle now, but she's a 100% faithful giver. She's a giver. Pastor Augie came, she had already done her tithe, she tithed again. Because it was such a good word. She wanted to get high again. But she's a tither. And what shouldn't have happened because of who's in control. Of even a child that she lost many years ago, 6-7 years ago, all of a sudden was on FaceTime. That's the way when you plant seed in God's kingdom, that's the way God is able to move in ways that at times we don't even deserve. She was a prostitute and her child was taken from her. But now, through the process and through the sowing of seed, God has shown her that He's blessed her more than just one way of the finances. But now, to start slowly but surely a relationship with her little girl. Her name is Lily. Let's pray for Lily. Liliana. Amen? We pray for Lily that things get better and better and better. Amen? Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Real familiar portion of scripture where Adam and Eve mess up in the garden. Amen? The Bible goes on to say that the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day, tell your neighbor, one day. He asked the woman, not the man, but the woman. Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Question mark. Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. The enemy replies back, amen, the serpent, you won't die. The serpent replied to the woman, God knows that your eyes will be open. Key words, that your eyes will be open. As soon as you eat it. And you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. They were having a conversation. By the end of the conversation with the devil, she was convinced what he was saying was greater than what God had said. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful. And its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Just some. Just a little hit. Amen? Then she gave some to her husband who was with her. And he ate it too. At that moment, tell your neighbor, at that moment. It didn't take a minute. It just took a moment. If you can mess up in a moment, you can get right in a moment. At that moment, their eyes were open. Key words. As soon as they bit, boom, the eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. I've already had prayed, so let's get into the message here this day. The tree in the middle of the garden represented what belonged to the Lord, the tithe. Amen? There was many, many trees in the garden that they were free to eat from, but the one in the middle, the Lord said to leave it alone. It belonged to him, amen, and it represented the tithe. In Genesis chapter 3:16, Jesus speaking, then he said to the woman, that's not the right one. Is that 3:16? It sure is. I gave you the wrong one. Let me see. Where he warned them. It's okay. Take our time. Where is it where he warned? It's 16, but Apollo chapter 2, huh? Let me see. Yep, it's chapter 2, Genesis 2:16, not 3:16, but 2:16. All right. Are we there? Amen. But the Lord God warned him, not her, but him. You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden. Go ahead and go to verse 17. Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. So here the Lord had warned Adam, given instructions to Adam, to give instructions to Eve in regards to the boundaries of the garden, in regards to the tree that was growing in the middle of the garden, and not to touch, not to eat of it, for if they did, they would surely die. They would surely die. He warned them. And I believe here this day, I'm bringing warning on the tithe, on how God sees things, and the way he wants us to see things, to those viewing online, to those present here this day, in regards to the tithe. In Genesis 3, 1 and 2, the Bible records a conversation that was taking place between the serpent, which is Satan, and Eve. They were communicating. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, there was a conversation taking place. Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? And she responds in verse 2, of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. There was a conversation between Eve, the woman, and the serpent, the enemy, in regards to the tithe, in regards to the tithe, the enemy, which is being around the bush, trying to get her focus off the many trees, to get her focus on the one tree. And then, have you ever had with your wife, amen, or with a leader, with your husband, a conversation in regarding the tithe and when you tithe to the church? See, sometimes we can have a conversation of tithing, which is positive, which is good, but sometimes we can speak about the tithe and giving unto the church, unto the Lord, in a bad way. When, again, we were all faithful givers to the world. And we would brag what connection had the best. And we would send people that way. A conversation was taking place. And I believe sometimes we have a conversation with ourselves in regards to the tithe, Right now, you're talking to yourself. Right now, the person of the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now in regards to the tithe. And right now, the enemy, he's faithful. He's a church. He's one of the church members. He's faithful to speak as he was speaking to Eve in the beginning, in the garden of blessings. It had everything they needed. It even had God himself, the presence, the person of God himself in the garden. Had everything. Have you ever had everything in your life just to lose it all? Adam and Eve lost it all when they had it all. Not just everything they needed, but they had God himself in this garden. And it's important that I say that here this day. In Genesis chapter 3, 6, and 7, I've read it, but I'm going to read it again. The Bible says that the woman was convinced. I pray here this day by the end of the preaching that you will be convinced to the tithe. Be convinced that it is the right thing to do. Be excited about the tithe because it is the right thing to do. Amen. That it is of God and in God's word. And as I'm speaking about giving right now, Pastor Jamie, amen, 17 hours away, amen, is preaching about not only giving but taking a pledge also. Because he knows in building the kingdom of God, it's going to take finances. It's going to take finances. He knows it. He knows it. And here the Bible says, as she was convinced that she saw that the tree, her focus was on this tree now. Through the conversation that she had with the enemy and being able to eat and view all the trees in the garden, the enemy got her to focus on the one tree that she was supposed to leave alone. It's kind of hard to leave something alone you keep looking at. It's hard to leave alone what you keep looking at. Because what you see, you think, and what you think, you become, you do. So man thinketh, so man does. It's hard to look at something without thinking about it. And the enemy was able to convince Eve. He was able to get her on the line, fish on, when she started gazing upon the one tree that looked beautiful, the fruit looked delicious and everything. She had to go take a hit, a bite, whatever you want to call it. Amen? The Bible records that when she took some and ate it and it gave some to her husband, amen, let's go to the next verse, that at that moment their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. Have you ever finally done something you weren't supposed to do that you couldn't wait to do, though it was wrong, and then you did it and it was supposed to be fun? And you feel ashamed of it. It wasn't worth it. And you did what you thought was going to bring fun and joy, laughter, a little fun on the side. You knew it was wrong. But you look, you went ahead and did it. And instead of finally getting it, whatever getting it represents to you here this day, you find yourself ashamed, convicted, because what you did was wrong, and the presence of the Lord allows you to know it's wrong. The Bible says that at that moment their eyes were opened and suddenly they felt shame at their nakedness. How many remember last week when Pastor Augie was here? He blindfolded my little boy. It was an illustration of many that he used. He got an offering basket, and everybody started going in there and putting money in their watches, earrings, and Pastor Augie was doing an illustration. And when he did that illustration, he was standing right here. He was standing right here doing the illustration. He had the basket. He blindfolded my son. Then people came and poured money into the basket. And he put the basket right there, 10 feet away. And he told Elias, you know, I'm going to count. I'll give you 15, 30 seconds, whatever. If you can find the basket with the money in it, amen, it's yours. Well, because my son was blindfolded and he couldn't see. I mean, the farthest he got, he thought he was warm when he found the altar because he knew that's where the basket was. So he thought he had a Blue's Clue going, but he was blindfolded. Well, the time elapsed, and he didn't find it. Amen? He didn't find it. Even though the basket had money in it, even though the basket of the blessings of God that belonged to him were just 10 feet away, because he was blinded, he couldn't find what God wanted to bless him with. Too many blinded Christians thinking they see. The Bible tells us in verse 7, as they ate, by being convinced of what the enemy had to say, it almost worked. Their eyes opened. And I believe a lot of times, just because our eyes are open, we think we see, but the Bible says, yet though they see, they're blind. And my little boy could not find that basket, even though the money in it was for him. He couldn't find it. But as soon as the blindfold from his eyes was removed, he was able to find the blessings that belonged to him. It's not that the Lord does not want to bless you guys. It's that you're not tithing, which allows you to be blinded to the blessings of the Lord, that allows your eyes to be open through sin and what the enemy wants to offer you. See, you got to make up your mind. Do you want to be convinced in what the enemy has to offer? Or do you want to be convinced here this day what the Lord has to offer? It's got to really mean something to you. Do you really want to be delivered? Do you really want deliverance? Are you happy enough with being off of drugs? Because there's so much deliverance that's needed within our lives that go way beyond addiction. And I pray that you be convinced this day to what the Lord has to offer you. And as soon as that blindfold was removed, he was able to find the basket of blessings that belonged to him. That was on Sunday. The day before was Saturday. We had the prayer summit. And we were at church almost all day. We went back from church. And I'm going to do a little side note here because it's something I just saw. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we continue, the day before, one of the pastors came and gave my son a Pentecostal handshake. That's OVO, amen. It's when you shake somebody's hand and you drop a bill in their hand with nobody knowing. You keep on walking. It's called a Pentecostal handshake. So after that long Saturday was finally over, we got back late at the house, and I was watching TV. I was seeing stars. I was tired and thanking the Lord at the same time and all just, you know. And my little boy comes up to me, happy. Dad, I got my first $20 Pentecostal handshake. Right? I go, you did? I was like, almost like, I didn't get one. He goes, this is my first one. And he was so happy, still not even knowing what $20 represents. But just the way it was done, you know, a smooth handshake, and he soon found out that it's called a Pentecostal handshake. That was Saturday. And then Sunday comes around, and my boy thought he was happy on Saturday, but on Sunday, after the blindfold was removed and he got what belonged to him in that basket, he had over $200 cash now. So he was stuck from being happy with the 20. See, that's the problem. Too many of you are happy with the 20. You don't have vision beyond a $20 bill. $20 can take you to eat. $20 can put gas in the tank. You can go to score with $20. You can do a lot of stuff with $20. Too many of you are holding on, a G.I. Joe grip, to a $20 bill. When the Lord has so much more that he wants to bless you with, but you can't let go of the 20. It's all you got. And it'll continue to be all you got as long as you hold on to it. So that day, my boy ain't going to forget those experiences. The $20 one would have kept him for 20 years. But the next day one, he couldn't even explain it. He couldn't even explain it. Back to verse 7. At that moment, their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. I'm speaking to those viewing online as well, amen? As well as those that are here this day. And my thought of the message, this is what brought the message, was even though their eyes were open, they were closed to the blessings. All they could now see was two things. The one tree, which represents the tithe, which represents the presence of God that they were to leave alone. All now they could see was two things, the tree and their shame. They saw their shame. That's why they covered themselves with fig leaves. Amen? In other words, their eyes were open to sin, the curse, and closed to the blessings of God. Their eyes opened, but they opened to sin, not the blessings of God. In the beginning, I said that the tithes represented the presence of God. In Genesis 3, 23 to 24, gives us consequences of their disobedience. Did they die that day? No. But they no longer had the presence of the Lord at a moment that day. The Bible says that the Lord banished them. The word banished means to remove. That he removed them from the garden. If you look at the root word for banish, it means outlaw. They had become outlaws. The root word to the word banish. And the Bible says that the Lord banished them from the Garden of Eden, which represented banished them from his presence. There's too many Christians saved outside of the presence of God with their eyes wide open. I try to counsel people, Pastor, I see what you mean. No, you don't. Just because you see don't mean you know what I mean. The Bible says that God banished them, removed them. They were outlaws. They had to get out of the garden. They would no longer experience the presence of God. A being in the garden working unto the Lord. But their eyes were opened. to the curse, to sin, to shame. It wasn't worth the bite each of them took. Sin ain't worth the bite. Even though you might experience other things, when it is called the curse, sin, it's not worth it. I made up my mind 25 years that it's not worth it. The consequences are not worth it. Though it might look and like fun and nice and woo, she fine, he fine. But the consequences thereof is not worth it. It's not worth it. When my boy ran to me with that $20 Pentecostal handshake, to myself, I said, there's many more of those to come for this little guy. Many more. But I'm going to have to be a model and example to him to give him no excuse to remain in the garden, in the presence of God, and wanting to be a worshiper that comes with an anointing, not just a gift of a song. That's in harmony, but under the anointing. In Genesis chapter 4, this is now Cain, 13 and 14. The Bible says, Cain replied to the Lord, my punishment is too great for me to bear. Cain replied to the Lord, go to the next one, please. You have banished me from the land. That means out of position. You have banished me from the land and from your presence. Oof. I found that scripture later, but the God, it wasn't so, it was being banished of his presence. And there's too many still coming to church, but outside of the presence of God. Outside of the presence of God. Too many saved outside of the presence of God. And whenever you're out of position, out of the land, you will not be able to be redeemed. Deliverance will not be able to come to you outside of the presence of God. There's too many men and women and young adults in church, but outside the presence of God. Your eyes are open. Your ears are open. You've heard the message. You know what to do. But you still want to do this and this on the side. Did they die? No. But they might as well have been dead. They no longer had the presence of God. Cain says, man, my punishment's too great for me to bear. He goes, you have banished me from the land and from the presence and from your presence. You have made me a homeless wanderer. Anyone who finds me will kill me. Man, that was me, a wanderer, homeless, all that. Not tithing allows you, I want you to get this point here. Not tithing allows you to see the single tree that to me represents self. Not tithing, not giving allows you to see the single tree, but yet blinded to the many trees, to the many blessings, the many trees to me representing the many others that we have been called to reach. And too many times we get caught up in the one tree, God speaking right now. We get caught up in the one tree. We get caught up in self, in our plan and what we want to do. And we don't want to take place to the school pledge and crossing. What does it say? Crossing us over by using. What does it say? Crossing others over. Read it on the bottom. Crossing others over by using our gifts. But too many times, if I would have put to cross me over, and I made 100 some of these, then you'd probably do it. Because you're depositing into your life and not somebody else's life. But the reason you're here is because someone at one time or another deposited for you to be here. For me to be here. And now it's our turn, our time. The moment has come for our eyes to be open to the many trees which represents others, not the one tree that represents us. To be blessed of God, trusted of God, to do what's right with the finances. Little Elias don't know nothing about money. Of that $200 he got that Sunday, guess how much he has left? How much? None. 200. Pastor Felipe is right. He still got 200 left. Because he ain't even got a plan to spend it. It's up on my dresser right now. In an envelope. He looked at it that Sunday. He was done with it. Why? Money don't have a grip on him yet. Money ain't got a grip on him yet. Money ain't got a grip on him yet. It's on my dresser right now. Like pocket change on a dresser. But it don't belong to me. It don't belong to my wife. It belongs to Elias. It's thrown up on the top of my dresser right now. Hasn't even said nothing about how he's going to spend it. Why? It don't have a grip. It don't have a value yet. We're living in end times. And we need to get it right, church. Our eyes need to be open to the many trees of provision that God has placed within this garden. Instead of the one tree that the enemy wants you to focus on. The one tree that represents self. Wow. So at this time, as someone texts Lily, please, to come over here, we're going to pick up the pledge right now. Amen. But before we pick up the pledge, we're going to pick up the offering. Amen? We're going to pick up the offering. As the ushers make their way, kindly please. I believe there's some viewing online right now that you know you need deliverance. You need deliverance. The tithe giving is able to bring deliverance. It's a powerful way to bring deliverance to your life that says, I trust the Lord and I belong to the Lord. I trust the Lord and I belong to the Lord. And some of you probably have no money at all. And saying, well, that may be me next year. You know, I only have so much money. It's 10% where you have a little or a lot. And if you can't be trusted with the little bit of money you got right now, God cannot trust you with much. And some of you might think it's harder to give when you have little, but it's harder to give when you have much. It's easier to give when you have little. I believe the Lord has spoken here this day, and I want to see you guys blessed. And again, it may not come back through finances, but God doing something for you that should have never been done. Never been done. Connie is working her way back with her little daughter from her past life. That takes a miracle. That takes God. That takes trust in God. Chava has his little boy now. He didn't do the greatest job with the other children he had when he was lost and bound, giving to the enemy. But today he says it over and over that his whole world is his little boy. It's his little boy. It was too funny. I was getting ready. He was having a little match with his boy, trying to teach him how to not get close to a hot iron. And somehow or another, Even though his boy wasn't being full, receiving his message of the hot iron, he thought he was going to make him touch it and get burned. He goes, I ain't touching it. A week later, a year later, that little kid's going to know about the hot iron because Java taught him a lesson today about the hot iron. He didn't have to give that lesson, but he knew it was a lesson that needed to be given. I could have preached about anything here this day. I could have pulled out the anointing oil, started praying in tongues, and run for you guys, jump up and down. But I decided to speak to you of what works and what doesn't work. If our eyes are going to be opened, let it be open to the many trees, the provision of God, not only for your life, but for him to flow through your life in power. Jamie's a good speaker, and he was speaking these big words, but they're still all of faith. It don't matter if you're a good speaker, not a good speaker, if you got money, don't got money. We all still need God. Amen. We all still need God. So here this day, as we prepare to pick up the tithe, I'm going to do we didn't pick it up in the beginning, amen. And what we want to do is build this church, amen, in trusting in God. In trusting in God. Yes, the pledge is for the school to get finances and business going through there. But at the end of the day, the Lord desires the finances to come through us. To come through us. That's a branch. But we are his people, his sons and daughters. So at this time, if you need a envelope, there's one right in front of you in the seat before you. If you want to give through a credit card, if I could have a sister in case somebody needs to give through a credit card, go behind the credit card that is located at the rear of the church by the soundboard. And there's other ways to give. You can scan right now by the code, amen. And once again, right now we're just picking up the tithes and love offerings right now for the church. But right after this, we're going to be picking up the pledge. And Sister Lily's going to come up and get our names, how much. And if someone's viewing online, you can leave a comment and she'll get back to you. Amen. Leave a comment putting her name down. Lily. L-I-L-Y. Just put Lily Macias and she will get back to those that leave a comment in regard to the pledge. Even as well as becoming a first-time tither in the church. Because you want your eyes to be opened to all the provision of the Lord. So at this time as we stand, amen. We're also an international ministry and United We Can. Amen. And we want to challenge you that as well. That's the smaller envelope there found in the seat before you. On United We Can. We're a worldwide movement. We're able to do big things by coming together. Big things by coming together. Just like we've come together, amen, with Jacksonville, Florida, Victor Outreach, Jacksonville, Florida, here this day, amen. We come together worldwide, united through the area of United We Can, amen. So at this time, I'm going to pray for the offering, amen. This is just a simple tithe we're doing right now. Those viewing online, those present here, as we stay focused. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory, all the honor. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be in the garden here this day with your instructions. We thank you, Lord, of the many, many blessings that you have for us, Lord, within this garden, within our walk with you, Lord. And this day, we want to give honor where honor is due unto you through our tithe, Lord. Because we want a greater, greater, and even greater presence of you, Lord. Not only here when we come to church, but when we get in our car and go home with our marriages, with our children, at the workplace. We want your presence to be wherever we're at, Lord. And Lord, we also want deliverance to take place. And here this day we step out by faith for deliverance to take place at the moment we drop the tithe into your hands, that our eyes would be opened, Lord Father God, as recipients to your blessings that you have for our lives and that you want to channel like a mighty river through our lives. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. And you may come forward here this day and give of your tithe. Amen. Eyes are being opened right now to what God wants to do, not only in our lives, but in this city. Seeing the church not filled anymore is something of the past. We're going to have to work at another level, at another capacity. One of the best ways is by tithing. It brings deliverance. Trust unto the Lord. You may have your seats here this day. As Lily takes her place. You want to stay there, Mom? Okay. You can leave the camera here too, also, Janie. At this time, we're going to do the pledge for our church. And if you could kindly go to the our billboard up here in regards to the pledge, amen. What we have here is a half-built bridge that even 39,100, almost 40,000, has been given to this bridge, it's still not able to cross souls over. It's not completed yet. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to get a big poster board. I'm going to put it there. And as Sister Lily gets your names and your amount, it's going to be posted here in a big poster board here and at the entrance of the church. It's going to have your name, the amount, and at the moment that you pay it, at the end, your name is going to say paid in full. Amen? Paid in full. So it's very important, guys, that we do our part. No few guys can do it here. We need everybody's cooperation. And the Lord just don't want to bless a few people either. But he wants to bless our whole church, even if you have very little finances. Amen? Jamie is in Florida picking up a pledge as I speak right now. Never seen what God had already planted in my heart to do. It just takes somebody online to see, I want to be part of that. And yes, I need further deliverance in my life. And one of the great reasons for I've learned this day, that deliverance hasn't come my way. It's not that God ain't faithful. It's just that we haven't been faithful in the tithe. We haven't been faithful. Amen. I am a grateful man of God to be part of something with the people like you and I to do something great. That bridge right there is the home bridge. It's the real fancy bridge in Milwaukee. Amen. But this bridge is so much fancier than the home bridge. This one is going to cross over lives that are broken to become radically saved. That's what this bridge is about. It's two-thirds built. It needs to be finished for God to start crossing the lost and the bound over. We have plenty of room in the rehab home right now. Plenty of room in the church. Plenty of room in the life groups. Plenty of room at the banquet. At the end, the Lord sent them out to the highways and the byways. He says there's still plenty of room left. Those that should have accepted the invitation didn't. So he sent them out to the highways and the alleys, the Bible says, that there was still more room at the banquet. Tell your neighbor, there's still more room in saving others and allowing our focus to be in what God wants to do. So from this side, whether it's $10,000, $8,000, $5,000, $3,000, whatever it is, for some that you just don't have that and all you got is $100, all you got is $50 or $20, and you don't have to have it right now. The due date is April the 15th. April the 15th, amen? I want men and women, leadership, young adults to step out in faith right now in what we're doing, amen, in the concern of this city called Milwaukee, in getting people saved into church and discipled, amen, build the kingdom of God. So I'm going to, as we all stand, I'm going to pray right now. And those viewing online, remember, leave a comment for Lily Macias, whether you're viewing through YouTube, whether you're viewing through Facebook, and she will be sure to read all the comments and get back to you and assist you in going about paying your pledge. Amen? Amen. Father, here this day, we thank you, we love you, give you glory, give you honor. Your word says that there's more of us than there is of them. That's in faith in you, trusting in you, Lord. I pray that you challenge every man, every woman, and every young adult present here this day, and those viewing online, that they would be part of this pledge, part of building this bridge and crossing the lost and bound over unto you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. So as you start making your way to Sister Lily, I want the line to start right here behind Felipe. Stay right there, because they're going to be talking and it's confidential there. So the line behind Pastor Felipe here. That way, those... if you can sit over there, Alberto, por favor, just for they can have privacy. You're not needed there either. Amen? Go ahead. That way, whatever number you want to tell Lily, it'll be confidential right there.